That's your kamloops.com is the kind of thing that I do that on. And I right now, I guess my major thing is blogging for interacting with my people who elected me as city council. So that's sort of what I do right now. I don't come at it from a technical angle at all. I come at it from more of a how to use technology kind of an angle. Half things that Roland says I can't understand, and that's probably, you know, one of the things that happens to technology.
It's all my fault, not our fault.
This is
a non-technical panel.
So that's me.
A non-technical conference as well.
Okay, Derek Miller.
Am I alphabetically? I guess.
Yes.
Okay, hi, I'm Derek. I work for a company called Navarik here in town that makes software for ocean shipping companies. I also have a website at penmachine.com, which has been a blog for 5.5 years. I use Blogger for that, which for somebody who's been blogging for that long may be unusual. I don't know.
It is.
Because I started with
graduate.
It. Yeah, I started with it and just never bothered changing. And I also publish free music you can use for whatever you want on my website. I have an album here you can buy if you prefer to give me money. I'd like that.
Give him money. It's well worth it. You get the high-quality versions.
Yeah. And I've had my website is about to turn 9 this year, next month, which is pretty old for a website. And I can't program my way out of a paper bag, so that's... Matt, on the other hand.
Matt Mullenweg?
Yeah. I'm Matt Mullenweg. I am a relatively new blogger, it seems like, compared to the other people on this panel. I started maybe 2002, 2003. While in the course of blogging, I got really frustrated with my blogging software, so I started to write my own. And here I am. I wrote some software called WordPress, which is open source software that's used on a lot of sites and by a large number of blogs out there. So I am definitely on the technical side, but I didn't start that way. My major was, you know, political science and philosophy, and I somehow ended up in all this computer stuff. And so,
and like, it's open source software, so WordPress.org, you can download it. If you have a technical bent or you have a neighborhood techie or a partner, they can install it themselves. Or if you want to, we'll get into this later, if you want to just start it yourself without having a technical person, you can use WordPress.com.
So, can I go ask?
I think we go around the room.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, ask your questions.
No, what I was going to ask everybody was, how many of you have a blog now? Okay. So you've already gotten started, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So how many of you have had that blog for more than a year? Anybody? Okay, good. There's one. Okay, that addresses some of that stuff. Does anybody wonder what a blog is or why we call it that instead of something else? What the difference is between that and a website? Is that an issue? Anybody?
Yeah, I just did a workshop in Bowen Island and people were confused. They thought a blog wasn't a website. It is a website.
So, I mean, really, a blog is just a website that's really easy to update for the most part. But... That's usually what I sum up to be.
Yeah. There were a few terms that I heard, squad and spleen.
Oh, that's...
Oh, my gosh, now we're getting technical.
I'll answer those briefly, because it's... If it starts to become a problem for you, that's probably a good thing, because it means your blog's getting popular. But essentially what splogs and spings are is if you have comments on your blog or other ways of making comments on the things that you write, just like you get spam email, there are people out there who are going to try and use the comments on your site to try and sell people stuff. And so what they'll do is they'll send you a sping, which is a ping, a way to leave a comment or a track. There are various names for these things. So basically, to put something on your site that points to their Viagra site or whatever.
Or porn site.
And a splog is actually a blog that's set up purely to do that. And there are various different kinds, but some of them, they're just there and they put a whole bunch of words in there, and then they put, you know, they put a... and they link to your site and link to other sites and essentially just try to get people to come to them and click on some ads and make them some money.
Have you ever gotten those emails that are complete nonsense and then they say Viagra in the middle? That's
or
a
Nigeria.
Splog is the blog equivalent of that email,
yeah.
Just on the web.
Viagra or Nigeria?
Yeah.
Sorry?
Talking about how to avoid them?
Well, a splog is not something to really avoid. If you come across it on the internet, you'll probably say, ew, and go back. So, I mean, there's nothing really to do there. And Spings, you talked, I think Spings actually have a different meaning
than what
you said.
Yeah, but...
But it's ultra technical, so you don't really need to worry about it.
I was going to put up here, Bright has been victimized by splogs. What happens is there's a plumbing company or somebody employed a firm to market on behalf of the plumbing company, and they link to Bright and they copy contact from Bright.com onto their blog just because I guess that gives them higher visibility in search engines. They sort of are trying to steal your search engine thunder or your themes. I think we should go around the room and ask people what their one goal is for the session.
I think that'd be good.
About the spam comments, what you're probably going to find sometimes is what you will get is comments that are spam, and a lot of times you can manually delete those. If it becomes a real problem, then there's other things you can do, like, you know how when you sign up for an email address, they have like little like words you have to, an image you have to type in, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so, I still do delete mine, the ones I get manually on my site. So
it's worth doing, set it up so that somebody has to manually write something.
Yep. So what I'd like to do is just to go around the room, people explain who they are in 30 seconds, and explain who you are, number one, what your blog is, how long you've been blogging, or if you haven't been blogging, and what is the one key thing you'd like to learn from this getting started with blogging session.
My name is Luann Brown. I'm going to be starting a blog called Organic Granny, and I have a website with a URL that I'll be using.
Okay.
And I guess my one question is, how do I develop, but should I worry about developing themes in what I say, or will those just sort of come out over time?
We'll get to that. A colleague of mine has the Chris Krug program, and his name is Chris Krug. He's one of the organizers of the conference, and he has ideas on how you should sort of do blogging, start off blogging, and one of those ideas basically leads to you finding your voice. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're talking about.
Next.
Next.
Everyone's back there, yeah.
My name is Bella Summers, and I'm still going through the RSS views of summer.
I'll write them down.
Most of summer. So I thought of trying to jump on the blog wagon, so I went to blog lines. And I saw some more advantages to Blogger, and I saw some more advantages to iPad. And they've all got about a third of my six posts. So I have to be more on the same lines. It's just that I need the voice. And the reason that they're back is I don't even have a key here. I just follow them.
And the front?
I'm Mona, and I've been an online message board moderator since 96. Mm-hmm. And our company just recently went into the blog world for some of our professions. And so I'm really interested. I was kind of dragged kicking and screaming into the blog world. I didn't want to be part of it. And now I'm enamored. I just love them and have begun my own. I've had a lot of requests to create my own, and it's called Life After Death. And it's about rebuilding a life after a big loss. So,
what would you like to get out of
it? I found my voice actually fairly easily. My main goal for this particular thing is I understand linking and all that stuff. I just don't get the technology. Yeah,
okay.
I'll
write that down. Good.
Right behind.
I'm Jeanine. I haven't actually done any blogging. I'm more interested basically just in keeping abreast with new modes of communication. And my younger sister started blogging about a year ago. And I just kind of wanted, like, I came to the last one of the boys, and I just kind of wanted to get a feel for what that meant for her. And also because my parents aren't really that, like, technologically literate, so I just kind of wanted to get a feel for that. I'm interested in starting a blog. I really don't have any core thing that
I don't understand what you mean by, I want to get a feeling for what blogging means to her. What do you mean by that?
I guess I just, like, I don't think she was really aware of the fact that it's, like, permanent and public. Like, she was just kind of blogging, like, it's a... And she's saying, oh, don't look at my blog, which I can respect, but I think that that's a little bit naive to have that assumption that you're putting something out there that's completely public.
Yeah, I told everybody at Banff Community when I did a blogs and dogs thing, I said, security by obscurity does not work. You may only have four people reading it,
but it's exposed to the 400 million people online.
Exactly right.
So I guess that was sort of my point.
Okay, great. Cool.
Are you a conference organizer or a session attendee?
Celia, do you want to talk about your goal for the session?
Okay. Hi.
Next.
Hi, I'm Lois. I'm with the federal government. And I'm just supporting Marvel's laws about their application in various settings and how they complement or not other forms of communication vehicles. So I'm really just here to learn. I really, it's a basic goal.
Okay. In the front.
My name is Millie, and I'm in a web class at Dallas College, and we were required to start a blog type of this January. It's called A Makes Me Hungry. It's at blogging.com. And I didn't want to do it, but it turns out I really enjoy it. So, but I'm a real beginner.
Okay.
I don't have anything specific.
That's all right.
Hi, I'm Lori. I'm a blog. Very specific matter. Almost everything I do one direction I would like to learn about. So,
yeah. Okay.
Hi, I'm Jenna. I have a blog. I'm associated in the business. So it's handmade.ca.
What is it?
Handmade.ca/blog.
Okay.
My blog is to start. It's kind of a way of me reaching out to my customers and on two levels, because I work in a studio by myself all day and I don't work online at all. Like, I work with my hands. So this is kind of it's a way of me talking to people who actually, you know, end up buying my product and using it. I'm interested in learning more about, well, a couple of things. Finding maybe moderators, finding some help, because I'm not, most of my friends and bloggers, they write every single day, and I just can't keep up because I'm not at my computer all day long. So it's partly finding people who can help me understand what's out there. And what else? I think that's the big one. It's kind of sifting through. There's so much great content and great blogs out there. And just trying to figure out, finding the ones that you like best and being able to see them all.
Maybe technologically.
Day, month. It's just so cool.
I'm going to send my mother-in-law to your site. Are you local? You're in Vancouver?
Yeah, I'm in Vancouver.
Okay. She may know about you already, but
next, I'm in front.
My name's Paulette. I'm a freelance writer and broadcaster, and I just started a blog about a week ago. And I want to find out how to make it better, how to be more efficient, how to blog quickly, without me spending 3 hours a day sometimes my time.
Cool.
My name is Renata. I work for UC Career Services, and we just set up a blog, kind of a staff blog, I kind of want to find out how is it to create that blog community of career experts, and find out how to do that best.
How's that? Can you rephrase it? How to find career experts. Online community of career experts.
High school librarian in San Francisco. And I work with the National Writing Project, kind of encouraging in the States. I encourage teachers to use content management systems, Homo Rubens is the blog. I've been doing it since
forever.
One thing I want to get out of this is I was hoping it's always good to find ways to encourage the folks who are just starting out, because I've been trying to do that and it doesn't work very well. And also, I love. If you're mad, if there's anything happening with WordPress and other users, then it's just something that's really cool.
Okay. In the back. In the back.
My name is Kai. I started blogging a few years ago. Wasn't still doing it. But it's all behind a password. Not public. And I'm kind of thinking whether I should not, since I'm spending all the time. Do it publicly,
And that's what I want to learn about. How to do that properly. Because I don't want all of it
public. Public blogging, public versus private. Yeah.
Who is reading it now?
Oh, we have a mailing list.
Oh, it's internal. It's a company. Or, yeah.
Gotcha. I agree.
Yeah, my name is Coral. I don't have a blog, and I'm working with a group that's setting up an ethical purchasing network of purchasers in the region of NGC globally to help them do ethical purchasing, and we're wanting to create an online community where they can have conversations against the whole project of ethical purchasing worldwide. So anyways, this is kind of ending up stuff you want to see how we can use this as a vehicle to facilitate that social change there.
I saw we had two new people coming, so just need to know your name and why you're here.
So what I hope to get out of it is some commentary around blogging as a vehicle, you know, like how you would approach it and start one up from a point of view you're trying to create, attract people to it, to create dialogue, to meet, to social change.
Gotcha. So those are the two things we need. What you want to get out of the session and your name. What's your blog?
My name is Cameron. I just decided to come and hold out another two.
Great reason.
The only question I really have to hold on is how I add a button so that people can be remembered and maybe know that to make people.
I don't have a blog. I'm Jan Bodywear. I came here because I wanted to see it's a good refresher to see how we're looking and where to start. Because I help people with their lives. And I also came here to see.
Hey.
Because I need to talk to you after.
I see, so you're track support.
You got a celebrity on the panel.
We were ready to chat.
I set up a blog with someone a couple of years ago, and I don't even know the address anymore. And there's other times now that I want to make blogs with more than one person. And I was trying to figure out WordPress, and I'm trying to figure out the right type of blog. It might be, but I'm so techno-dumb, I get dumb all the time. And I don't want to be that dumb, like I don't want to figure this stuff out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So but the multi-username and the RRS is actually things I like to learn.
Okay. I am back.
I first fell in love with blogs like 2 years ago, and then like a year and a half, I started my first one on Blogger. Got a couple since, and I'm just starting to make WordPress. And I guess I'm just generally curious about sort of beyond the initial type.
That's you.
My name is Anna. I am a technical partner. I've worked with technology for 2 years. But I'm also a communication specialist. I have my own company and I have two URLs. And I've been struggling with getting business models, you know, going based on communications. And somebody suggested to me that I try blogging.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a writer, that's what I'm here for. I can see lots of business reasons, but I just can't really see it. Take the steps.
Okay. So just what we're doing is we're saying your name, if you have a blog, and what you hope to get out of the session.
Sure. My name is Jeff Tixeres. I don't have a blog. I started about 5, probably. Unbelievable. I apparently still exist somewhere. Google's cache. I'm trying to figure out as a starting point, I think it's a common question of like the personal versus professional front, and I don't want to divorce them, mm-hmm. but I want to understand how the two those distinctions are relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my work I do personal professional coaching. There is a blend of personal and professional.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know how to best present that. I'm curious.
Oh, my name is Kate. My knowledge of this whole blog world is very limited, and I'm just really wanting to know what happened.
I saw Scott jump in, the photographer.
Yeah.
Did you want to introduce yourself? Huh? So, your name, what your blog is, and what you hope to get out of the session. Even if it's just pictures.
Yeah, that's okay. Scott Bielan, blog.
T-shirt.
Photos.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Dick Hart. Blend.ca@info.com, sponsor,
Cool.
Neil Jensen, I already work in IT and the internet. I've been observing how people are moving in space, questions they have.
Well, I think,
did you see any themes that really came out?
I think people want to know everything, and we only have an hour, so. I think what we should just do is go through our outline, answer the questions as we go through.
Well, we'll see. I don't know if we're going to get through the whole thing.
We're not going to get through the whole outline.
Now, I'll say, for me at least, you're welcome to email me at penmachine.com, and if you have some questions that I might be able to answer, feel free if we don't get to them today.
Yeah, definitely. You can contact us.
I think the one thing we might want to talk about is sort of, for those who are really new to it, as we said, a blog is really a website that's easy to update. And usually the newest thing is at the top. So if you go visit somebody's blog, the newest thing's at the top. RSS, really simple syndication or rich site summary. Basically, it's a way most blog software now publishes. It's basically a text file that has either a summary or the complete content of the most recent however number posts. People can subscribe to that, so they don't actually have to visit your website, or they can even republish it in other places. So it's just an easy way for people to keep up to date with what you're doing, and they won't necessarily have all your formatting and templates. It might just be plain text.
I'd just like to interrupt and say, this is a very hard-to-read graphic that I put together. We think of RSS as a container ship that carries, like a container ship could carry anything. RSS contains updates that could be audio. Traditionally text, more and more photos, more and more audio for podcasting, and video for video blogging. And the only reason you need to know what RSS is in 2006 is because us technologists haven't done a good enough job of hiding the technology from you. In 10 years from now, I'm sure you won't even need to know any of these acronyms.
It's like the technology behind web pages is HTML and HTTP and all this other stuff that you don't really need to know and you shouldn't, but it's there. It's a way for people to subscribe to your blog or something.
Yes, so or to your podcast, or to your video blog, whatever.
If you need to know more, you can find out a lot more, but that's all we're going to say about that.
Can I ask a quick question about that? Can you give, me as a blogger, do I give permission to people to do an RSS, or do people just come in and do that without my...
When you set up your blog, you have a choice as to whether you publish RSS as well. So you have your web page, and there's usually somewhere in the configuration or something you can say, yes, I want to publish an RSS feed, is what it's called. Sometimes it's on by default, and you might not even know you're publishing one. Sometimes it's off by default, and you have to figure out how to turn it on. But yes, you have control over whether that exists. I would say that in general, for most people who are blogging, you probably want that to be there because it's a way for people to read your stuff.
Yeah, and somebody mentioned about business models. This is a great way for you to publicize your business because RSS, since it carries the site updates, it lets the search engines know when your site's updated, which is good for Google, and also good for services like Technorati, which are search engines that specialize in the real-time RSS-driven web. And RSS started with weblogs and was popularized by weblogs, but now traditional websites like the New York Times, since 2002, have been publishing their site updates in RSS.
It was started with weblogs?
No.
Well, this is a non-technical panel. We're not going to go into technicalities, but that was not 100% correct and didn't correct. But if you want to talk about the technicalities, we can discuss it afterwards.
Paulette?
Is it difficult to put RSS feed on a website as opposed to a blog?
It's a little bit tricky. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really easier to just... Most 99% of blog software produce it automatically. So...
Yeah, so if you have a website and a blog,
if you want to use the blog to get stuff to your website, would you be just
link to stuff on your website in your blog?
Yeah. You could say
they're complimentary. You don't have to. You don't have to have your blog replace your website or your website replace your blog. They can be complimentary, or they can be. You can just have a blog, or just
they can be part of each other.
So then, if you have a blog, you don't need to worry about putting RSS on your website. Is that what you're saying?
Not necessarily. What you would do is that since RSS is usually about the latest stuff, when you do something else on your website, or if you want to highlight something in particular, on your blog you say, go over to this other page of my website and link to it, and then there you go. That's what I do. And for my podcast where I put music online, I'm actually still writing the RSS feed manually, which is a pain in the butt, so I'm going to fix that. But it's just because I started doing it without
thinking. Arjun has something to say.
I'll talk about, a bit about your getting your voice, because that was something you were sort of chatting about. And blogging has made me very schizophrenic, more than I actually am now. And I'm going to kind of show you a little bit about why. If I can just kind of
sure.
walk it for a second. I have like 7 or 8 things I've done with the blog world that I'm going to show you. What's happened is that I started off kind of like here, and it was called something different before. It was called Chunky G's Journal, because my wife calls me Chunky sometimes. I don't know why. But I changed that to that. And it was started off as I got married in 2003. I went to India for 3 months on a honeymoon, and I wrote about my trip to India. And then I kind of got into, I use a service called TypePad, and I've kind of moved up in terms of the different levels. Now, with TypePad, I've been allowed to do all a bunch of different kinds of blogs. There we go. So I had this thought that I would become a really, really famous technology guy. And so I had this site, I still have it, and then I kind of abandoned it a while ago, more or less. But is that going to come up? Okay. Well, that's the other, and that blog is really, it goes from September to January. But I started to write about technology, and then I went, no, I wanted something else. So then I did this. I actually got involved with the Single Transferable Vote campaign in BC back in May, and set up this for this website, which I haven't updated in a long time either. Oh, see, not even there anymore. I went to this is nothing with blogs too. You can do a kind of event-driven blogging. You don't have to do blogs like kind of long term.
I
wonder if this is up. Let's see.
When he's finished, I'll sort of summarize, because it's a good point.
I went to the...
So easy to create. It doesn't have to be forever.
I went to a convention in Chicago back in June. It was for the Rotary International, and that's basically the last post was in June. But another thing with this is I have an email list of people who are also Rotarians who I could email about this. So I use that in conjunction sometimes. If I have a good email list, it's not kind of a spam email list that I can use to publicize the fact that I'm doing something around on blogs. I got a lot of people coming here for the time that it was there, and I put up videos and I put up pictures and all that kind of sort of stuff. So that was there.
All right.
The last thing I just want to show is...
How many more lives do you have online here?
Yeah, exactly. One more.
One more only.
This is my...
Roland, I don't want you to talk about how many.
Yeah. this is my... I'm a city councilman now on campus. This is kind of my current passion. So I see how schizophrenic I've become, right? But this is what I do now. Basically write about things that happen in my community, like what garbage trash container you should lease.
this stuff is gold, by the way. Local stuff.
And
today, guys, this is journalism. This is what you want to talk about, your local stuff.
Now, you notice what I've done here is I combine different technologies. Like I combine a TypePad, which is a blogging sort of platform. Maybe I'll use WordPress now. And I use email, and I also use the web. TypePad allows you to like what's called map a domain name, so you don't have to have that long web address. You can get a web address and then just layer it on top of a blog. So
yeah, and WordPress will allow that soon.
Yeah, and everything will. So I'm done.
Okay, so I just maybe want to paraphrase what Arjun has been saying.
Please.
Number one is it's no longer about the technologists.
It's about what you want to communicate. Text, audio, video, photos. Yes, the tools are crude. Yes, they suck in many ways, and sometimes it's hard to see frustrations as you go through it. But anybody can start a blog at WordPress.com or Blogger.com 5 minutes. So don't think of a website as this really hard thing, right? When you can start a blog in 5 minutes, everyone has this mindset, if we've been around for a while, that a website is hard, and that it's hard to create a website. I have to have a strategy.
Well, you do have to have a strategy, but what you should do is play around. When we were kids, we played around. I mean, it's directed playing, but what I think you should do is what Chris Krug calls the program.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Is you should
read or listen to podcasts or watch video blogs that you like or that people recommend. And if you go to bloglines.com or other places, they give you a starting point. And then leave comments. And then think about what you want to blog about or podcast or video blog. And it doesn't have to be permanent.
Oops.
And then experiment and play around. And then, after you've done six or a dozen or whatever the tipping or turning point is for you, then strategize. Then think, okay, the world has changed. In the old days, everyone just needed email. Now I need this sort of public space where I speak, if it's a podcast, or have my music, or where I have my pictures and my text and my video. How am I going to use it for my personal and for my business and for my organizational, if I'm like not a profit pool? And then come up with a strategy, and it's not, you may hit some false roads, you may go through four iterations, you may start a blog, you may not, those are all valid paths. There's nothing wrong with starting and shutting it down. There's nothing wrong with having a blog just for a three-day conference, like Northern Voice. Basically, we have a different blog every year. Think of it as cheap and flexible technology that you can use to your needs. You don't need those webmasters. You don't need those technical guys. You don't need FTP. You don't need Dreamweaver. You don't need GoLive. Throw in all those preconceived notions of the 80s and the 90s and using the web.
And you can use them if you want.
They're complementary. They don't like we said before, you don't have to throw out your existing web presence.
The other thing that I would say
online presence
is that, like, when I started blogging, I didn't know what I was doing it for, really. I started it I had a website that I'd started building and sort of doing something semi-bloggy where I would periodically, every few months, go to my website and open up the HTML page and say, this is what I did in my freelance writing career, and here's a few articles I wrote and stuff. And it was a pain. And then my friend Alistair, who was here yesterday, he suddenly got this blogger thing on his website, and he was updating it like every 3 days. I thought, how do you do that? So I clicked the link, and off I went. And went, oh, well, that looks cool. That'll make it easier for me to put something on my website every 2 months, because I'll just log in and type it in and do it. So I set it up, and over time, I suddenly discovered myself writing at least every day, and sometimes several times a day, and sometimes.
And it doesn't have to be every day.
Yeah,
it has to be whatever meets your goals. Now, if you're the business or the nonprofit, or people who want fame, recognition, people to read them, then yes, you should do it on a consecutive... frequency.
I don't think frequency is as important as consistency.
Yeah.
And if you blog once a week, that's fine. People know to expect an update once a week.
Yeah.
If you blog like 20 times one day and then not again for like 5 months,
The other thing is you can subscribe. So it doesn't matter if your favorite bloggers only blog once a month sometimes and three times a day when they're at a conference. Because if you subscribe to them using blog lines, for example, as you're showing here, it, like your email, it shows you when the site's updated. If not, you can ignore it.
I was just going to say, it sort of speaks to the idea of community, right? When you blog, and you blog publicly, you can blog privately too, that's very, very acceptable, but if you blog publicly, you end up kind of finding out or getting linked out with people who are doing similar things that you do or interested in similar events or issues. Kind of a bit of a sad example from my life is I had a friend of mine who passed away in a helicopter crash a couple of years ago, and the day he passed away, I felt kind of uncomfortable. I wrote about it on my website, and I had like aviation forums that knew him too, linking into my website, and people actually somebody who we knew in here in Vancouver left a comment saying, how do I get a hold of the family, and because they didn't know, and so there's this, and that's a sort of really kind of a very sort of heartfelt kind of example, but it goes on many different levels. I've had people, link to posts that I've written, not a lot, but a little bit, and it's kind of neat because you kind of find out about other people who are doing similar things or think similar ideas. And typically, you start off with the kind of people that who you're supposed to read in your area, and then you realize that some of them you don't like, so you kind of get rid of them and put more and put different ones on. So it becomes very customized kind of a thing, and you can create kind of very, very customized, depending on what you like, your own kind of community, which is very cool.
I think one of the other things is that there's a bunch of, like, sort of some of the things we've listed here. There's a bunch of reasons why you might want to do a blog, and they may change over time. So
yeah,
you may have several blogs, you may have one. That one blog may have different purposes at different times. And you've got to think, you know, sometimes I use mine just as a way to remember stuff. I'll go, oh, here's a cool website, or I remember I had one about something about this study of, you know, economically free cities that the Fraser Institute put out, and I thought, well, that doesn't seem right, and I did a comparison with places that are actually nice to live, and they were different, and I made a little table, and I did all this stuff, and I just put it on my blog, and now if somebody asks me about that, I go, oh yeah, I got a blog post, and I search my own website, because I can't remember, or I search Google for my website and find that, and it's like my memory, because I can't remember it, or...
I have
two questions. Yeah. What do you mean? You mean several people blogging at the same time on
one
blog?
For instance, you did a wiki for this one.
Yeah.
Well, and Drupal and wiki and blog, which one is better for
you? You know, Matt, do you want to address some of the multi?
Go ahead.
Sure. Do you want a quick demo? Just what it would look like.
A quick demo. Yeah.
So it sounds like we have a couple of people who said, you know, I don't know, they want to update frequently, they want people coming to the site a lot, but that takes a lot of time. Wow, so you get a group blog going maybe, have a couple of people writing on the same blog.
Everybody has the same amount of vested interest. It's not me, my blog that everybody's visiting, it's a group
of us
that are
doing.
Sure.
Both are valid.
That's very easy. So.
I mean, you can do that on any platform. You can do that on Blogger, you can do that on Drupal, you can do that on TypePad, you can have several people, writers on the same blog.
But
I mean, it's nothing mysterious.
You guys chose Wiki.
Well, we chose Wiki because then you're editing a single document.
Edit
okay.
It.
So if we're not making posts, and you know, Roland wrote one post, and I wrote another post, and somebody else,
right.
And it's Wiki isn't.
Wiki's for documents, not for updates.
Okay.
And wikis are. Well,
exactly.
Let's not get into wikis because that's not everything.
It's like a web page that everyone, a document that everyone can edit.
I've worked on all of them, but I still
don't know
what
to do. All right.
So I'm asking these questions.
No, no problem.
Yeah. So let's say this is my WordPress.com account page, and it gives
your
me
dashboard.
A couple options, my dashboard. And it tells me, you know, who's linking to me right now, what the latest comments are, you know, how many posts I have, and just some news around WordPress.com. If I were going to write a post, I would go here. This would give me a quick place to just, you know, type in my updates. They'd be on the website.
What if this was a group blog? What if Matt on WordPress?
If this was a group blog, here's what you can do. Let's say I wanted to add Roland to, so here's my profile. If I wanted to add Roland to this blog so he could post on my blog and, you know, talk about me, I guess.
And on Matt's photos.
I could come down here and say add user. And what's your username?
Roland.
Roland.
I think.
That's
on WordPress.com.
Easy. Yeah.
I beat that French guy. Roland Pical. I'm always racing with him to be first.
So I can add Roland, and I can say there's a couple of different roles here. He can be administrator, which means he can change anything he wants on my site. I don't trust him that much.
You shouldn't.
How do I get rid of this menu?
Escape. Escape.
Sorry, I'm not too computer savvy.
No, he uses Windows.
Editor, which means, you know, he can edit my post. Author, which means he can publish things just like a normal author. And then one called contributor, which means, you know, I want Roland to contribute, but I'm not sure what he's going to put up there. So this means he can publish drafts, but I have to approve them.
Yeah, and I know Drupal has this. I'm pretty confident TypePad has these.
Yeah, it's not as much, but...
Yeah,
and so all I have to do
Blogger,
is put.
You can do that on there.
Yeah,
you can set
I think
up. Add, and that's it.
And now
so,
I can write stuff.
Now you could log into my blog and see it, and that's really all it takes. And like we said, every platform can do this.
So every contributor will be off.
Yes.
And usually you would have when the blog posts go up, depending on the template, usually you would say who wrote a particular post.
Yeah.
Right. So if somebody's annoyed about it, they know who to be annoyed at.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Does that answer your question?
If you wanted it more open than that.
What if you wanted more?
Even people that you don't
know could contribute.
Like, so in my case, we're looking for a certain constituency,
mm-hmm.
and anybody who would have a purchaser go on, but I don't know their names. And
you could allow them. Well, I know in Drupal or JPL WordPress, you can allow people to register. I don't.
Yeah.
And give them an automatic role. So in Drupal, you could say create a role called person who signed up on the website, and then when people sign up on the website, they automatically get this role, which allows them to post content in certain areas of the website.
A good example,
I think you can do that.
A good example of how they've used WordPress to do that is I'm a musician, and one of the things, or a podcaster as well, so the podcast putting out audio for people to subscribe to. And people who make podcasts usually make little commercials, they call them promos, that other podcasters will play on their shows so that everybody gets to know who all the other podcasters are. And Adam Curry, one of the guys who helped start the podcasting thing going, set up a site with WordPress, and all it is it's just called promos.podshow.com. Anybody can go there and register and become a user, and all they do is you put a link to your latest promo file as a post on that blog, and nobody says yes or no, you can't do that. You just do it.
Yeah.
And then he subscribes to that feed, and so do a whole bunch of other people, so that if they want to put a promo on their podcast, they just go there and pick one. So that's an example of how to do WordPress.
Yeah, and you can do that. Personally, I prefer a more social method of doing it rather than just purely technological. So let's say someone's leaving a lot of comments on your site. They seem really intelligent. You say, hey, would you like to contribute more to the blog, you know, write your own post or something, and then add them manually rather than just, you know, have it be purely a technological interaction.
Bluffton Today and Bourbon Vancouver have this where anybody could be a contributor. Anybody can join, and they can post content without a human being involved. But what we try to do at Urban Vancouver, of which my company sponsored it, is try to welcome the people who join. I tried. I'm too busy these days, but we used to welcome every new user who came on board. I know Bluffton does that as well. So this is, you know, somebody talked about, well, I don't have time to blog, and I don't know what to do, so maybe I should try a group blog. Well, maybe the person who comments, like Matt says. And the whole point about this blogging thing is, it's a website. You have to, what would the word be, nurture it. It's a little mini community. Even a blog that only has one reader, even if you have zero readers, it's still valid. But
you should interact as much as possible.
Interact as much as possible.
If someone leaves a comment, always respond to it.
Yeah.
Unless they're spammers or pornographers or druggies, you know?
But you can respond to them too. But just
well, I wouldn't encourage it because it just leads them to respond further.
But we've gone through a couple of points real quickly. You want to find the blogs you like. You can use something like gototechnology.com, type in what you're interested in.
Or blog lines as well.
Ethical blogging. Type in ethical blogging. It'll show you some blogs. Subscribe to them using something like blog lines. So that way you know when they're updated. You don't have to visit the websites every day. You just go to blog lines every day and it'll tell you who's there.
Right.
Step number three?
Leave comments.
Leave comments on the blogs that you like. Start interacting with the people that you're interested in. Because those are the people who are going to... They have established audiences already. And they can... If you start your blog about the same thing, they'll probably link to you and share their audience with you. And so it's your community. It's your tribe, if you will, online, of people who share your interests.
I think linking is the key thing. I mean, the whole web is built about links. So linking to things that you find interesting, linking to things that you find infuriating.
And the one point I'd like to add is that you need to go to conferences like this. Like, talking about social change, Chris Krug is into social change. Sarah Coleman, who's doing the yoga, is into social change, and we're here. And Alex Samuels had Next Square North whole conference about social change online yesterday for the unbelievable cheap price of 8 hours for $30. So you need to get out there in the real world. So be in both worlds. This is just
you need to meet people online,
people in the real world as well as on the online worlds.
If you're trying to, I've been spectacularly unsuccessful in trying to help people, train people about how to blog themselves. I've had people, like, where I live, I want to get an easy update website or easy update blog. And it's difficult. I probably had about a 30% success rate or less in terms of getting people to kind of put it up and then keep on doing it. So you have to be patient with that, and you have to be patient with the fact that...
And with yourself.
With yourself, and I've tried it all the time myself. Because I think it's important to realize that a lot of people, you know, if anybody's sort of in the small business world and they you have an ebb and flow. Sometimes you're really interested in writing about things, sometimes you're not. But if you're doing it for your business, it's difficult because you kind of got to keep on putting content up there. But if you're doing it personally, then it's okay to kind of have those spots. But I guess my point is it's tough to kind of sometimes talk to your friends and colleagues about the power of blogging, you have to kind of do it in a very... I'm not sure the best way of doing that, actually, but that's just a comment.
Well, one thing I would say there is not everybody has to have a blog. I mean, you could try it, and if it doesn't work for you, don't worry about it. My wife has a blog now, but she put up some and took them down.
Absolutely.
Didn't work, and she had to find the balance between how anonymous she was and how much she talked about herself and her family and what she was doing and what she wasn't doing. And
yeah, play around and then strategize. Play with the free tools. Like
or don't bother to strategize if you don't want to.
Can we talk about how to keep stuff out of people's eyes? Because I'm really not interested in having anybody comment on what.
Well, don't put comments on there. Put a password on the website if there's people who need to get on there. If
it's the usual web stuff. It's no different. It's a website.
You can't put a blog on the public internet and not expect people
Here's
to be
what
able
I have. Security by obscurity does not work.
Sorry, what was your question?
Can I keep some stuff private and
stuff public
and still do it all on the same blog?
Yes, you can.
Depends on the platform exactly how you would do that, but sure, you could essentially have, depending on which one you're using, you could have some categories that appear on one page, which is public, and other categories go to another page that requires a password.
WordPress does that. I know Blogware does that.
So it is certainly possible to do. Or you could do it as two totally separate blogs if you want.
Yeah, that's probably the easiest. These things are so easy to create. Just make one totally private.
You could do that. Or if you want the private place to show all of them, you could make the private place the sort of master blog, and then you have a category that's in a public space. That's only the stuff.
And this is where we have this whole thing. Like, you'll notice that if you start down this road, what we're suggesting, let's say you create blog lines to subscribe to blogs. That's one account. And then WordPress.com to do your WordPress account. That's two accounts. And then you have your Hotmail or your Yahoo or Gmail, and you've got all these, and Flickr, say you wanted to do some photos.
Dick's going to fix all that, right?
And Skip, which is Dick's company, is working on solutions so that you don't have to have 8 million passwords, amongst other things. This whole digital identity is a whole 3-day conference we could talk about. But just suffice to say is that it is confusing, even for the most technical people.
It confuses the hell out of me.
To have all these user identities and passwords. Mm-hmm. And it is a solution we've been working on for a decade or more, and I think we'll actually make some progress this time, because now real people are using technologies like blogging, video blogging, podcasting, and running the same problem that geeks have been running into for many years.
I mean, I think one of the things that I've found is that the people who are, you can measure your success however you want, but your success in finding your voice in getting a blog that works for you is when you're writing about stuff where it doesn't, I mean, maybe for your business, if you have a particular goal, it may seem like a chore. But if it's something that seems like a chore and you're just doing it for a hobby, then it's not really a hobby. You're just torturing yourself.
I would say give it up.
Yeah. But if you can find a way to be, even if it's just you put up a couple links that you like today, which is what some of the first ones were, or if you write a 40-page essay every 3 weeks, that's great. If it's something you're interested in, I mean, that's all I ever put on my blog is what I'm interested in, whatever it happens to be.
I think a good rule there is always blog for yourself first.
Yeah.
That's a good rule.
People will come later.
Yeah.
But blog to yourself if you're not happy doing it.
Back there?
Totally. I just have one quick question. Is there anything better than Flickr? Since I hate Flickr.
Is
there any alternative that I'm missing?
There's a bunch of
other
options.
What do you want to be doing?
Just,
Sharing your photos.
Yes, exactly.
There's bubble share.
Web shots. There's some old school ones.
Smug mug.
There's all the ones at Future Shop.
Yahoo Photos, man. Really simple. I mean, like, just go real basic. I mean, that's, So, I mean, there's tons of
them. There's too many alternatives. That's the problem.
I mean, there's a lot.
Some are really good.
Flickr's really good. It's just not really good for you. But for a lot of people, that's, that suddenly people went, yeah, that's what it should be. But maybe it hasn't gotten to the point for them. The other option is if you can find some software and it makes it easy for you to just publish it to your website. Like, maybe if you had a Mac and you have the new version of iPhoto, maybe that would do it for you.
If you don't mind being locked in the Mac.
Yeah, if you don't mind getting locked into that, right?
Or I used to run Chappers Online. We used to say that the technology is always a problem with technology. Anything you go to is always going to be problems with it. You got to take about 7 or 8, do a test, find one you like the best, and learn all the things you hate.
Or hate the least.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. We got a couple more questions that we're going
to
have to go.
Sorry to go back to the privacy thing. This morning, I wanted to ask a question to get to it. There was somebody saying they want to know who's reading their blog.
Yeah.
Okay? Yep. I can understand that, but I don't want them to know that I'm reading your blog. Really.
No, don't tell them.
Okay, but this, I mean, you can track where the hits on your website come from and all that, so.
I don't think you can actually definitively track if you want to be technical.
Yeah, I mean, if you read somebody's blog through blog lines, for example, if you read their RSS feed, they will usually just see that it came from blog lines, which doesn't tell you much. If you always go to an internet cafe and read their blog from there, they're never going to know that it was you. Or if you always do it at the university, you know, you don't need an account to
look. If you want to be anonymous, you can find ways. They're not easy.
You steal your neighbor's Wi-Fi connection.
Well, for my shared connection, if I go on somebody's blog, they won't know it's me.
Yeah.
They'll know it's my computer, maybe, but they won't know it's me. Even my IP keeps on changing. So, I mean, you're basically anonymous unless you comment on the blog and say, I don't want this person to know, but I was at his blog and saw this and linked to it. Then they might know, right?
And
otherwise.
Yeah, and if you're linking from a blog that's behind a firewall, they might know it comes from that particular company,
yeah.
But they're never going to be able to see who it was.
Yeah.
I got a bunch of links from the International Atomic Energy Agency the other day. I have no idea
behind
why.
Behind their firewall, right?
Yeah, I don't know
Did
why.
Did you blog about bombs or nuclear energy, uranium?
Anyway.
Any other questions real quick?
About Technorati.
Yes. Yeah.
The purpose is to have people come, know who's coming and put as many links. Where do I get the links from? I'll go to my blog, for example, has nothing at the bottom. It's just as my end.
Yeah.
I might have some links in there, but that's it. I go to somebody else's. They have Technorati.
Sidebar.
Down at the bottom and certain keywords.
This,
now, where do I find those keywords?
This is a bit of a hack. You don't find them, you just make them up. What it is that solution.
No librarian tells you what.
I don't know if you've seen this, but if you look on some blogs, you'll see they write their post, and let me pull up one that's got an example. At the bottom, or even within the body of the text,
we can show you
something that says tags, and then there's just a bunch of words that are links. So it says, you know, for this thing, we'd have a blog post, and it would say tags, Northern Voice, Moose Camp, blog.
Oh, if your blog has categories, they're the same thing for Technorati.
Yeah.
So I can check these three categories, right?
And they'll show up.
And then add another one. Blah. And now those will be Technorati tags and Technorati.
Yeah. So how would
you do is if you...
You can type in...
The manual way to do it is... And this is like HTML, so it's...
It requires some technical...
This is the way you would build a link. You know, you build a link that says... Technorati... And just for people...
There you go.
Who
tag
know,
your post.
There you go. You found the post.
They have a little tutorial here that gives you code you can copy and paste and everything.
Moose Camp.
Yeah.
And then the important part is this bit here, rel equals tag, and then you put whatever your word is, Moose Camp.
Way too technical, but luckily there's a tutorial that Matt found.
What's your business model for WordPress?
For WordPress.com?
Yeah.
We host about almost 100,000 free blogs now, and we're going to have paid upgrades that people can buy. Like maybe you want to upload big videos to your blog, that might be like $2 a month, something like that.
Oh. Or your own domain name.
Or your own domain name, that might be $10, $15 a year.
But
until
now, you're not doing that.
No, and what is free now will always be free. So if you set something up, you'll know that it'll always be free on WordPress.com.
Who wants to like eat?
I want to
funds you.
Maybe talk to Matt after. One thing
I'm
just
a lot.
This tag thing. What it is it's a truck. And again, this word can be whatever you want it to be. If you're saying that it's about knitting, you can put knitting. You can put whatever. What this is it's like if you use Flickr, it's the same sort of thing, where you try to describe in short little words
keywords.
What your post or your website or whatever it is you're talking about is about, and there are sites out there that sort of read this and they try and relate it to other sites that have similar things. So there's a bunch of ways to do this, and there's a bunch of sites, Technorati, PubSub, Feedster,
that's enough.
There's a ton of them. And they're sort of scraping all the time to try and figure out what blog posts are talking about a similar kind of topic. And this is, I wouldn't worry about this when you're starting out. But because Technorati will probably find your site anyway and figure out some of what's going on.
Yeah.
It's just a way for more people who are searching for information about what you're writing about to find it.
I guess we should wrap up.
I guess so. It's too bad.
But I guess my key takeaway would be that it's not about the technology, it's about you and how you want to express yourself online. It's a valid choice to not blog. It may not be 10 years from now, just like people get mad if you don't have email in a lot of circles today. So
And the other thing is experiment, try things out. And I will also suggest you leave comments and talk to people. Even if you don't blog, find some that you like and read them or listen to them or watch their videos on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And play around. And find a technical person or somebody in your neighborhood who's a blogger, and so that you can ask them a technical question. Or email us, or me.
One other thing I would say, there were a few people here who were, you know, from government, from companies and stuff like that, sort of interested about how blogging can work in those kind of contexts.
Oh, the Scoble book.
It's going to be, yes, Robert Scoble's got a book about it. It's a different thing there because you're trying, in many cases, you're trying to reveal parts of the organization that aren't used to revealing themselves. Because a blog that anybody's going to read has to have a personality. And so you can't just make, well, you can just make a blog that's a bunch of press releases, but it's just an easy way to put out press releases. If you're actually going to make a blog that's somebody or some people writing something within a government organization, whoever's in charge of that organization has to buy into it, that that's what it's going to be. And it goes on from there.
This is a good book that just came out, I think. I haven't read it, but he's the next session over there, but he's talking about geeking out. But anyways, it's a very, from what I could tell, the chapters they posted online, it's a very good tutorial for those of us who are worrying about business and blogging behind a firewall issues.
Thank you for coming, and sorry we couldn't cover everything, but please do talk to us.
Robert Scoble.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.